Saga Egmont presents Dreams Come True at Glendale Hall by Victoria Walters. Read by Ailey Beaton. Prologue. 23 years ago. I held on tightly to my mother's hand as we walked through crunchy fallen leaves. My cosy beanie hat slipped down my forehead, so she stopped us to push it back. "Now you can see again," she said, smiling down at me. She looked around where we were. "Look at that, Lorna," she said, pointing to the house behind us. Set back from the road, it was half covered by the orange and red leaves of the trees in front of it. It was painted white and was taller than the other houses on the road. I thought it was the biggest house I had ever seen. It looked like something out of a fairy tale. Perhaps Belle from Beauty and the Beast lived there. She was my favourite. "It's the prettiest house in all of Glendale. I thought once that I might live there. I thought we could make it a lovely place for people to stay." Then she sighed. "Oh, life doesn't always work out the way you plan. But it's good to dream, Lorna. You need to imagine the life you want and then work towards it. I want all your dreams to come true." She turned from the house and smiled at me. "Come on, we're going to be late." We set off again, and she swung our entwined hands as we walked, making me laugh. Before we turned the corner, I glanced back, and it felt like the White House was watching us walk away. Part 1. Chapter 1.
"Lorna, there you are."
My heart sank as my boss Chris found me in the lobby of Glenmarsh's Inn. I glanced at the clock on the wall behind the reception desk. I only had 15 minutes left of my shift, and I'd finished all that needed to be done and was already looking forward to heading home.
"There's a big mess in the lounge. Can you sort that before you go, please?"
Chris barked at me before spinning round and marching off. As manager, he was always rushing around the inn telling us all what to do. I turned to see the receptionist Claire on the phone, but giving me a sympathetic eye roll. I grimaced in return before I headed towards the lounge. As housekeeping manager, I had come to dread the words "big mess," and the sight that greeted me reminded me why. Someone had knocked a whole jug of orange juice off a table, and it had spilled across the marble floor and covered one of the cream chairs as well. I knew all the housekeeping staff were sorting out the rooms ready for the guest switchover, and with so little of my shift left, I knew it would be faster just to clean it up myself. Silently cursing whoever had invented sticky orange juice, I tucked in a stray strand of hair that had come out of my bun and set to work with a mop and bucket and industrial-strength fabric cleaner. My shift ended when I was only halfway done.
"You're still here?"
One of the housekeeping team, Ellie, spotted me as she passed by with her trolley.
"Oh," she said, seeing what I was doing. "Let me finish that and then you can head home."
I leaned against the mop and gave her a grateful smile. "Oh, you're a lifesaver. I'm meeting friends for drinks and I need a large one after today." "It's after every day for me," she replied, taking the mop from me and waving me off. I didn't need telling twice, and I hurried into the staff room and over to my locker, where I grabbed my bag and pulled my teddy bear coat on over my in-uniform of black trousers and white blouse. Then I rushed out of the lobby before anyone else could find something for me to do. It was a chilly September evening, and once outside, I could see my breath on the air as I walked towards my car. Behind me, the inn was lit up for the evening. The mock Tudor building sat in a valley surrounded by...